Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Thursday, May 28th, and today is International Hamburger Day, which I didn't know was a thing until about 12 hours ago. But the hamburger turns out to be one of those everyday objects with a surprisingly wild history behind it. And the company most associated with it, McDonald's, makes its money in a way that has almost nothing to do with selling you food. So we're going with it. The origin of the hamburger is one of those historical questions where at least five people have a credible claim and nobody can prove anything. The word comes from Hamburg, Germany, where minced beef, served as Hamburg steak, was a common dish in the 19th century. German immigrants brought it to the United States, and by the 1830s, it was showing up on menus in New York City, including at Delmonico's, which printed a Hamburg steak on its menu as far back as 1837. But the question of who put ground beef between two pieces of bread and called it a hamburger is still unresolved, and the competing claims read like a comedy of regional pride. A man known as Hamburger Charlie Negrin allegedly sold ground beef between two slices of bread at a country fair in Seymour, Wisconsin in 1885, because he noticed customers wanted to eat while walking around. But then you have Frank and Charles Menches, two brothers from Ohio, who say they sold a ground beef sandwich at a fair in Hamburg, New York that same year. Louis Lassen of New Haven, Connecticut, reportedly served ground beef trimmings between toast at his lunch counter, Louis's Lunch, in 1900. And the restaurant is still open and still claims the title of the first place to sell hamburgers. And then we have Fletcher Davis, a Texan who supposedly sold his version at the 1904 World's Fair in St. Louis, though critics argue that his was served on sliced bread rather than a bun, so it shouldn't count. None of these claims have been definitively proven, and all of them have been disputed by the others. What's clear is that by the early 1900s, ground beef sandwiches were everywhere in America because they were cheap, filling, and you could eat them with one hand while doing something else with the other. The hamburger didn't really need an inventor so much as it needed a country full of people who were in a hurry, and America has always been that country. White Castle, founded in Wichita, Kansas in 1921, was the first chain to build a business around the hamburger. The founders chose the name White deliberately, to signal cleanliness at a time when ground beef had a reputation for being unsanitary, and Castle to convey permanence and strength. They standardized everything: the size of the patty, the shape of the bun, the layout of the kitchen. But the real revolution in hamburger economics wouldn't come for another three decades from a drive-in restaurant in San Bernardino, California, run by two brothers, Richard and Maurice McDonald. In 1948, the McDonald brothers shut down their successful drive-in restaurant and reopened it with a radically simplified concept they called the Speedy Service System. They cut the menu from 25 items to 9, eliminated car hops and waitresses, replaced plates and silverware with paper wrappers and bags, and redesigned the kitchen so making a hamburger was an assembly line process where each worker did one task repeatedly. The result was a hamburger that cost 15 cents, came out in 30 seconds, and tasted exactly the same every time. The brothers were doing to restaurant food what Henry Ford had done to car manufacturing, and it worked enormously well. By 1954, the McDonald brothers had 6 franchise locations and were ordering so many milkshake mixers that they caught the attention of Ray Kroc, a 52-year-old mixer salesman from Chicago who had spent most of his career in middling sales jobs. By the way, if anyone's been to a McDonald's and the ice cream machine is actually working, congratulations. Anyway, Kroc flew to San Bernardino, watched the operation, and immediately understood that what the brothers had built could be replicated across the entire country. He became their franchise agent, and over the next several years, he opened hundreds of McDonald's locations while the brothers stayed in California and collected their cut. The relationship deteriorated because Kroc wasn't making any money. His franchise agreement with the brothers gave them 0.5% of gross sales, and the margins on 15-cent hamburgers were so thin that Ray Kroc was operating on a 1.4% profit margin even as the chain grew rapidly. Kroc's solution finally came from Harry Sonnenborn, a financial executive Kroc hired away from a place called Tasty Freeze. Sonnenborn looked at the business and he told Kroc something that changed everything. You're not in the burger business, you're in the real estate business. The idea was simple but transformative. Instead of just licensing the McDonald's name to franchisees, Kroc's company would buy or lease the land and building for each restaurant, then sublease it to the franchisee at a 20 to 40% markup. The franchisee got a turnkey restaurant, and McDonald's got a steady stream of rental income that didn't depend on how many hamburgers any individual location sold. And because McDonald's owned the real estate, it had enormous leverage over its franchisees. If a franchisee didn't follow the rules, McDonald's could simply decline to renew the lease. And in 1961, Kroc bought the McDonald's brothers out entirely for $2.7 million. The brothers claimed Kroc failed to honor several verbal agreements, including a promised royalty, and the relationship ended quite bitterly. The original San Bernardino restaurant was not included in the deal, and Kroc reportedly opened a new McDonald's across the street from it to drive out the business. That's kind of crooked. But that didn't stop McDonald's from growing into what it is today. McDonald's owns roughly 70% of the buildings and 45% of the land underneath its more than 40,000 restaurants worldwide. The company's real estate portfolio is worth an estimated $40 to $45 billion. When you buy a Big Mac, you're contributing to the restaurant's revenue. When that restaurant pays rent to McDonald's corporate, you're contributing to one of the largest commercial real estate operations on the planet. This is the same pattern we've been seeing all month on Higher IQ. The Shrek episode showed that animated movies aren't really about movies, they're about merchandise. The gaming episode showed that the Grand Theft Auto franchise isn't really about selling games, it's about selling virtual currency inside a game. And McDonald's isn't really about selling hamburgers. The hamburger is what gets the franchisee in the door, and the real estate is where the money lives. In each case, the thing you think is the actual product is just the advertisement for a completely different business underneath it. The hamburger itself, the actual sandwich, has barely changed in a century. Ground beef, bun, condiments. That's it. I actually heard something insane the other day that someone had stored a McDonald's hamburger for like 20 years, or it might have been longer than that, and it still looks totally fine. To be clear, Ray Kroc didn't invent the hamburger. The McDonald's brothers didn't invent it either. Nobody did, or at least nobody can prove that they did. But what Ray Kroc figured out, with Sonnenborn's help, was that the food was never the point, and the food was just what got customers through the door and franchisees to sign the lease. The land underneath the building was the actual business, and it has been ever since. So on International Hamburger Day, here's what you should tell people about it. Nobody knows who invented the hamburger, and at least five people have claimed it, from a fair in Wisconsin in 1885 to a lunch counter in Connecticut in 1900. What turned into the most iconic American food was the McDonald's Brothers assembly line kitchen in 1948, and Ray Kroc's decision to build a real estate empire on top of it. Today, McDonald's owns 70% of its restaurant buildings and 45% of the land, and that portfolio is worth over $40 billion. When Ray Kroc's financial advisor told him, "You're not in the burger business, you're in the real estate business," it was one of the most important sentences in fast food history. So enjoy International Hamburger Day and stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.